Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon. Good morning, Andrew O'Grady.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's a little cool out there this morning. First morning driving in, that little, you know, thermometer thing went ding on my car dashboard.
Mine did the same thing. Watch out for frost or something like that.
Exactly.
I saw a comedian last weekend, Nate Barngazette. I don't know how to say his last name. Very funny guy. He did a whole bit on cars now, how they kind of have their mind of their own, and you know, that you pull into the garage and everything's fine, and then you get up in the morning, you turn your car on, and it starts beeping. You got things in your way. And he's like, I don't think I have anything in my way. I got in fine. You're talking back to your car. No, there's people underneath your car. Don't move. Beep, beep, beep. And that's pretty funny stuff.
It is actually funny stuff. And it's funny, too, that you would mention that, because I was driving in this morning, and the new Volkswagen that I have, the Volkswagen Taos SUV, and it has those things that, like, you know, keep you in the lane, and it has the automatic headlights and all. I wound up turning that off because, you know, it sounds like it's a good idea, but it sometimes it gives you unexpected moves that can kind of be disorienting.
Yeah, if you don't put your blinker on, which you should when you change lanes, but if you don't, let's say there's nobody on the road and you're just moving over, it'll kind of try to jerk you back into the lane you're in, and it's a bit scary, actually.
Exactly. And I just found that, I'm just better. I just would rather drive the car myself. But I was
you should have bought a classic 1970s vehicle, and you know, you'd have been fine.
You know, back a few years ago, I tried to win a 1954 Chevy pickup truck. There was a restaurant up in New Hampshire that was, if you bought their draft beer from a local brewery, you got a raffle ticket to enter the contest to win the 1954 Chevy pickup truck, which is exactly what I drove when I was in high school. And I was sure I was going to win, but unfortunately, you know, 12 beers later to get all. No, I'm only kidding. Hey, sorry I didn't make it to your event last weekend. It's really hard for me to get out sometimes during the week.
Well, you get up so early.
And there's just not like there's anything going on, around us that I have to get up early in the morning to and, you know, see what happened overnight. Not like anything like that would happen. How'd you make out with the weather? I kept watching it. We were concerned about, you know, the rain and the thunder and lightning storm. How'd that work out for you?
Well, no one really left the tent. So I think before the event, I was walking around outside. It was nice, but the tent had walls on it, and so no one really. We didn't open any of the walls because of the threat of the weather, and it was a fine time. But I don't think I'm sure some people went out to enjoy it. I do believe that it did rain pretty heavily during the event. We didn't know it though. You couldn't tell because when I went out to the car, it was kind of wet. But it was okay. It was a great event. It really went well. It was smooth. Raised, I think, $35,000, which is very nice. And we had this Ian Flanagan recording artist come, and I invited him to be there. And he chose to, you know, I wasn't asking him to do that, but he got up with a guitar and sang some stuff.
Nice.
So it was a nice event. We had great raffle prizes and just a real positive feel-good event.
Well, and yesterday Jesse Cerubi was on with us from Family Services and talking about how important it is to have the socialization, to be out and interact with people, how critically important that is. And of course, they have coming up their 52 End Stigma event that's happening. And I know when we talked about that yesterday, that your organization, MHA Dutchess, is going to be participating with them, I believe, Jesse Cerubi told us.
Yeah, I mean, we try to support each other the best we can. We're all part of the same team, just trying to make sure that people are healthy in this community. And, you know, there's no competition there. In fact, they're a perfect, you know, we always want to look at the fact that we don't want not-for-profits in this area duplicating services.
Correct.
And, you know, wasting money. So we don't do that. They're typically the clinical aspect of this community. In other words, the therapists and the psychiatrists, you know, going in and meeting with a therapist, sitting at a desk and talking to your therapist, that happens with family services. They have clinics all over this county. And then we have mainly the ancillary community-based supporting the individual outside of the therapy office. Well, you know, we're going to people's homes. We're helping them get from point A to point B if we need to. We're supporting them through the difficult process of trying to get through the bureaucracy of the DCFSs or DSS, they used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the food stamps, the Medicaid if they're on it, keeping it if they can. You know, that kind of stuff, because going to those places, it's kind of like going to motor vehicles during COVID or something. I mean, it's like a nightmare. You have to, you know, you don't even get an appointment there. You just have to go and wait. At least the motor vehicles, Brad, turned it into an appointment situation, which made it a little more tenable at motor vehicles. But those kind of offices can be frustrating to the average person. And when you have a mental health disorder or you know, whatever is going on with you, you might have a little less tolerance than the rest, and so, you know, being there with them during that process is a calming environment for them to be in, and it makes it a little easier. So
absolutely, and going back to your event last weekend and thinking about collaborations, I mean, last week Dutchess County Sheriff Kirk Imperati was involved with your MHA gala last week, correct?
He was the gala chair, and he always steps up to be that person on the honorary committee. He always shows up. He stays. You know, a lot of people in office, they show up at all these events, very much appreciated, but they have to run off to another event or do something. And he pretty much sticks around the whole time. But, you know, the way we set it up this year, I felt bad for the elected officials because I have to change that for next year. I mean, they do want to be recognized. Mm-hmm. They do want to have their name mentioned. And I didn't include that part until we actually had our talking part of the event, which wasn't until an hour and a half after we started. So a lot of them came and had to go before we got to that point. So I'll try to change something. You know, you learn every event, what works, what doesn't work, and you try to change it.
But the and I want to especially mention the sheriff because of the ongoing relationships that you have. And again, you know, I think back to your organization, Family Services, the Sheriff's Office, where there are mental health crises involved, where there's domestic violence involved, and how the relationships, Andrew, that have been created over the years, that when people are in these crisis situations, it really is a team of really caring people who I've, you know, seen who work together now in this county.
Yeah, you know, I would emphasize also that we accomplished, I mean, we've always worked well with the police.
Yes.
But we implemented programs like our ECHO program when we have people embedded within police departments. This all started at a time when, you know, I'm just grateful for our community that we can sit and have a conversation and trust each other, which is unlike most of the country, frankly. It was during the talking points of defund the police. During the, you know, social workers are going to replace policemen. You know, that all that dialogue, and that was a time in which the city of Poughkeepsie police, followed by the Dutchess County Sheriff, wanted to embrace the idea of us embedding. It wasn't a technical clinical social worker, but embedding a mental health worker within their police department, which was a risk, and we had to overcome any pushback or fear or resistance on the part of police officers, and we did that by engaging with the chief in Kirk's case, the sheriff, and in City of Poughkeepsie, Chief Pape, and it was led from the top, and he calmed those fears of the police because, you know, many of them could have thought, oh, this is the beginning of the end. You know, they're all going to be we're all going to be social workers, and that is not the way we believe things should be. The police are vital to our community, and they're necessary, but they also are trained a certain way, and you know, they're not out there doing horrible things. But they don't have, number one, they shouldn't have to learn every single community resource there is in the world. But our expertise comes in there and becomes that that tool in the toolbox, and it's a great partnership, And there's countless stories of how, you know, the police department looked better because, you know, we followed up the next day or the day after with somebody that had an interaction with police, which is unheard of. You know, that's the worst day of your life. You have an interview. You might not get arrested, but they're here because your borderline did something wrong. And we talk to them about what resources are available for them. And then we follow up the next day. But to them, it looks like the police followed up with them, which is, wow, the police actually cared. They checked on me the next day. They weren't calling me to reprimand me or threaten me or arrest me or anything like that. They called to see if I was okay and what they could do to what they could do to help get me to what I need to get. So it's pretty great.
Well, and the other facet to that that comes to my mind is that the law enforcement professionals themselves confronting sometimes horrible situations, they're human. Those police officers are human individuals as well. It takes an enormous mental toll on them to have to operate in that environment. Andrew?
That was another we didn't expect that, because frankly we didn't go into these contracts from the MHA side thinking we are going to provide in an EAP situation or a situation where we're going in to support the police. I mean, it just happens.
Yes.
because the people we embed in there are not clinical therapists. They're not licensed social workers or psychologists. They're people that understand mental health. They understand, you know, what services are available in the community. They know how to talk to people. But what happens, the dynamic that happens is little by little, an officer would just pop in, hey, Joe, how you doing? And sit down, and before you know it, they're kind of talking about the tragedy that they saw the other day.
Absolutely.
And they're just talking about it because they know they can with this guy or this woman that we have embedded in there. And it's not a therapy session, but it is. I mean, it is. So it's pretty great all around.
System. Yeah. So we need to get the Zoll's sports report in here. So before we do that, in the past we've sold anemones, we've sold Christmas trees. When we come back, can we talk about selling apples?
Selling apples. God, I feel like I'm a carnival sales guy.
Back with Andrew O'Grady in a minute on the Beacon.
It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipes on the Beacon.
Back to my conversation with Andrew O'Grady. Okay, so let's see. I left out, though, the indoor golf, which usually happens when? February?
That'll be in February, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't picked a date yet.
Okay, well, we got the indoor golf and then the anemones, which the anemone sale, which coincides usually with the Administrative Assistance Day or something. And
we have wreaths.
Yeah, exactly. I was explaining to Robbie how granddaughter Ava's picture there was on there for a couple of years about how nice those Christmas wreaths are. And now I'm looking at the website and it says we're excited to share something special with you this fall.
Yeah, so we've partnered up with Apple Blossom Farms over in over in Ulster County.
Well, it says Clintondale on their website, so maybe it is Clintondale.
Yeah, well, they have an Ulster County. I'll get the name next week. We'll talk about this every once in a while. But it is a pretty interesting fundraiser. It's they're going to deliver a bunch of apples here to our office, and it'll be the similar to they're not just individual apples. They're packaged in a nice box.
Sure.
And they're really a great gift, actually. They go out early November. They also have a delivery anywhere in the world for this. So if you have somebody you want to send a gift basket of 12 or 16 apples from the Hudson Valley off to a friend or a relative or a business person that you're doing business with and you want to thank them and just send them a nice gift, you can do that. You go on our website, fill it out, and put a little note in there like you're sending flowers, and they'll put that note on the package, and it says it's coming from MHA and the company and the Apple Blossom Farms, and it's just a really nice gift. It's really well packaged. it's we're trying it out this year for the first time, and I think it's going to be I think it's going to catch some traction. I think it's pretty great. We have great apples up here in the Hudson Valley.
Oh man, we sure do. Sure. We sure. And this is why, you know, when Tracy's on with me talking about the food and nutrition, and or even I was talking about it with Jesse Cerubi yesterday, how important, and you and I have spoken about it for years, how important the food and nutrition is for our physical and our mental well-being. It all interacts.
It does, and it's important that we take care of our bodies, because yep. our bodies feed our minds. So,
hey, you know what I was thinking about too? Now that I'm saying that out loud, it reminded me of the conversation we had with the you know, the veterans programs, and you're building out on Route 44 in Pleasant Valley. I did the remote broadcast out there years ago when that opened, but I think it's time to go back. I think it's time to go back and, you know, shine a spotlight on that again, if you think so as well.
That'd be great. We'd love to have you do a live broadcast from there. There's a lot going on there all the time. Every year it gets more and more populated, more and more people know about it, more and more people show up. And I've said it before, but it's worth repeating. If you are a veteran or a family member of a veteran, and you don't have to wait until you have an issue,
right?
And you don't have to have any issue. Maybe you want to just, you know, maybe you want to help out or do something, or maybe you don't. Maybe you just want to see this building. I encourage you to go. It's on 1-3-4-4-1-4-5-5. Route 44 in Pleasant Valley. It's on the left-hand side if you're leaving Poughkeepsie and going east. It's a blue building set back from the road, and it's just great. Just go in there, go in the door, introduce yourself, say that you're a veteran or a family member of a veteran, you've heard about this place, and somebody will come out and give you a smile and show you around. And it's just getting connected to it, knowing that we exist. It's important to know, you know, somebody asked me yesterday, what's the biggest barrier to mental health care? The biggest barrier to me in mental health care, and this goes to what I'm just saying about the veteran program here, is that people don't know about it.
Yes.
We can talk about it on the radio, on the show I'm on here with you, and thank you for having me, and we can talk about ways to access mental health care, but I can't tell you how many people I've known for years and years, when their family members struggle with something, they call me up. They don't know how to access care. They don't know the next step. They don't, you know, if you had an issue with your heart, you wouldn't have to call a friend to find out. I mean, you would know. Call your doctor. Figure it out. People don't know. It's like a secret, unfortunately.
Well, it's, you know, it's I will say that, you know, my wife said to me the other day, she said, and she was the day, she was with me the day we had the ribbon cutting out there. And she said, well, how come you don't go over there and volunteer? You've got the time to do it. You go by there every day. So, let's make sure. I'll get with you offline, and we'll with Adam Roach at the, you know, the Dutchess County Veterans Affairs, and let's get something put together and go back out and do it again. Because when I was there before, I mean, there was a lot of stuff there, but there was more stuff even being added, as you just said. So we'll make sure that we really bring this back to the forefront again.
That'd be great.
Maybe with things going on at the federal level, it's really an important time to be letting people know about what we have right here in the Hudson Valley.
We have a lot, and we're blessed with that program, and everybody that, you know, again, it's about bringing people together. So we talked about the police and how we have that partnership. In that building that was donated to MHA, we have the county move their offices there. Right. The VA is in there, Veterans Sportsman's Club. There's about five other small veterans serving agencies that have office space there. We have a food pantry. We have... there's so much. You come by, check it out. You'll be surprised.
I'll make a point maybe one day next week, even stop in after work and, you know, just go back and see people again. And then you and I'll get together and set something up. Andrew, just having this conversation with you, I almost said the wrong word. all the stuff going on around the world, it weighs heavily on me, just like it does anybody else. Just having this conversation with you and kind of inventorying some of the resources and the relationships around, I personally find it very uplifting having this conversation with you, just like I did with Jesse yesterday.
Well, I think, you know, you're in a role where you're, you know, most of the conversation you have is related to politics, and you feel very passionately about it, as everybody should. And, you know, it's frustrating, to say the least, to think about all the things that have happened over the years as you recount the historical journeys of this country and how it's kind of gone, maybe downhill in many ways, and who's responsible. And that's a very... It's obviously emotion draining.
Yes.
And you're doing that the whole time. So when you have a conversation that's light and not focused on that, and talking about the positive, I mean, yes, it's positive stuff here.
Exactly.
It certainly changes. So let that be, you know, a lesson to everybody that, you know, you got to bring some positivity into your life. You can't dwell on what you're angry about or frustrated about, or that's going to trigger other people. And, you know, it's obviously important. We should know what's going on in our country. But if you're stuck in that conversation, in that mindset, it can be draining.
So yesterday marked 13 years for Hudson Valley Focus Live.
Wow.
5-day week show, and this year makes 30 years since I just started the weekend show, and Charlie North was on with me yesterday, because it was Charlie who recruited me back in the fall of 1995 to take over the weekend show. And talking about positivity, tomorrow I'm going to be broadcasting from the brand new Ulster BOCES Pathways facility that they have up at the iPark 87. Absolutely fabulous program for students up there, with state-of-the-art equipment to work with. And that's important, because I go back, that's tomorrow's the 12th annual Manufacturing Day. The first one, you know, that we had also featured Jonah Schenker with them when they were just inaugurating these Pathways Academies. And now it's Dr. Jonah Schenker, and he's the superintendent of the BOCES organization across all of Ulster County. We've made just tremendous progress. Long way to go. But when I look back over this, Andrew, I mean, this is kind of the thing that, you know, helps me keep moving forward, is creating opportunity for young people. And that's, you know, that's what we all should be doing, making sure we're pulling the oars in the same direction.
Yeah, we have similar paths. I mean, we're a little off on the start of your weekend show compared to my start at MHA, but I've been here about 26 years, and I've been CEO for about 12, just around the same time that you got Hudson Valley Focus Live. So congrats to you.
Thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. It is coming up on 8 o'clock already on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Quick break, and then back in a minute on The Beacon.